in a sec. Just before we get to Ricky, though, I wanted to congratulate one last time Point Loma Nazarene University. Yeah. I know they lost the championship game of the Division II title to Northwest Missouri State, 64-58 on Saturday. That in no way can deter from the amazing season those kids had, getting all the way to the championship game. And their top guy got in foul trouble in the second half, and that's never a good recipe against a team that's 37-0, yet Point Loma took them right down to the wire and played a hell of a game. Just got beat, that's all. So congratulations to Point Loma Nazarene University. Great season, guys. All right. Look, Duke's on the sidelines, too. So you have company. And joining us to talk a little bit about that is Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation. Ricky, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much for coming on. And, well, just right off the top, you kind of, I'm going to say you took a shot at Coach K, but you kind of think Coach K could have done some things a little differently yesterday for Duke. Everybody wants to know why Duke lost rather than the fact that maybe Michigan State's just pretty good. But why do you think Duke lost?
Yeah, I think that, you know, this Duke team really had no excuses other than go to the Final Four and win a national championship. Obviously, it's tough in a single elimination tournament, so much variance in that style of format. But, you know, Duke set the expectations for themselves. The first day of the season, I was there when they played Kentucky in Indianapolis in the Champions Classic. Duke was a one-point underdog heading into that game. They end up winning by 34 points, biggest defeat of John Calipari's career at any level. To me, Duke has been playing with fire for the entire second half of the season. It's happened for a few different reasons. One, they were one of the worst three-point shooting teams in all of college basketball. As a team, they're only making 30% of their shots, and Zion Williamson is actually their second-best three-point shooter by percentage on the whole team, and that's supposed to be the one weakness in this game. They also just went away from Zion too much, especially in crunch time. Coach K would revert to R.J. Barrett hero ball. You know, Barrett might deserve some criticism for that, too. He took five shots at the end of the game against Gonzaga when they lost the title game of the Maui Invitational. He went 0-for-5 on those shots. You saw it again against Michigan State in the Elite Eight. Barrett took the last two field goal attempts. Barrett was the guy who got the play when Coach K drew it up on the sidelines to attack the basket with Duke down two. He ends up getting fouled, splits the free throws, and Duke loses because of it. So I think that Duke, they had a tough situation the whole year because Williamson just sort of asserted himself as being such a special talent. They didn't exactly have the best pieces around him to maximize him, and I think that he's only going to continue to show how great he is when he gets to the NBA.
Ricky, considering Duke was a poor three-point shooting team all year, a poor free-throw shooting team all year, is it really that much of a surprise that in a close game it would boil down to one of those two things, and in this last game it boiled down to the free-throw? Should we be all that surprised that they were vulnerable to lose a game this late in the postseason or in the tournament?
I mean, for sure, every team is susceptible to losing. And Duke going to the Elite Eight, they still had a pretty good season. I just think it's a bit of a disappointment because you're only getting one Zion Williamson, and to me, he's the best college basketball player of the decade and maybe even my lifetime. I'm 31. So he's just such a special talent that I think that this year kind of has to go down as a bit of a disappointment for Duke, and to lose to Michigan State. Now, Michigan State was a team the last 2 years with great talent. You look who they had last year, Jaren Jackson, one of the better big men to come through the college ranks of the decade. They also had another lottery pick in Miles Bridges. They lost in the round of 32. This Michigan State team has maybe no NBA players. It's a team of just solid college veterans. You're going up against the Duke team with the top three recruits in the country. They were still able to win. I think it's a bit of a disappointment for Coach K and Duke.
The Duke reaction after the game was one of incredible sadness, Ricky. I mean, these kids were really, really taking it hard. I thought that was, you know, obvious that you're going to take it hard when you lose at this stage. But interesting in the sense that maybe they took it a little harder because they know they're not going to get another chance to do this.
Yeah, and if you look at Trey Jones, he was the one breaking down on the sidelines on camera. I mean, he watched his brother win a national championship as a one-and-done freshman at Duke in 2015. I'm sure when Trey Jones committed and he knew he got Zion, RJ, and Cam to come with him, that he thought he was going to follow in his brother's footsteps and win a national title. I think a lot of people expected Duke to win it all. They were the number one overall seed in the tournament. With Zion on the floor, they looked like the best team in the country. They certainly had the highest ceiling, but March can be a cruel month, and Duke was playing with fire in the NCAA tournament against UCF, against Virginia Tech, and Michigan State finally got him in crunch time.
Ricky, we obviously are down to the Final Four. When you look at the teams that are remaining out there, who do you consider to be the strong favorite here?
I don't think there is a strong favorite. I think it's totally wide open. Mm. You look at the four teams standing, I think all of them are about equally capable of winning it all. That's why it should be a fun Final Four. Obviously, losing teams like Duke and Gonzaga, that takes away some of the thing that would draw in the casual fans, but there's still a lot of good stories in this Final Four. I kind of like Texas Tech. Texas Tech is the best defensive efficiency of the KenPom era. So they've basically been the best defensive team since 2001. They just lock you down, and then on offense, they have Jarrett Culver. To me, Jarrett Culver is the second-best NBA prospect in college basketball behind Zion Williamson. Just a tremendous high IQ, big, strong, long, two-way player. Jarrett Culver's really good, and he's got some solid shooters around him with Matt Mooney and David Moretti. So I think that Virginia probably deserves to be the favorite, given their excellence the entire season. But the Cavs have also looked vulnerable during the NCAA tournament. So I kind of like Texas Tech, but I do think it's wide open.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I mean, that's going to make it fun. This tournament has been full of surprises. Ricky O'Donnell, SB Nation, joining us. One more thing about Duke, because to me, Ricky, I agree with the one sense that we went into the tournament thinking you either pick Duke to win it or you pick against Duke to win it. It's kind of a 50-50. When about a month goes by and the dust clears, Duke is probably going to rue the fact that they did not get this done. What changed the second half of the season? I know Williamson got hurt for a while, but what changed to make Duke go from one of the dominant teams maybe in basketball college history to a team that is on the sidelines in the Final Four?
Yeah, so obviously Zion's injury was the big thing, but he was still at the peak of his abilities. I mean, you saw him come back in the ACC tournament. He was absolutely killing it. He picked up exactly where he left off. So I don't think that played much of a factor. To me, it was more that the team still sort of viewed Williamson and Barrett as equals. And I don't want to put the blame on Barrett. He's an 18-year-old. I think that he's going to be a good NBA player, and he had a really productive season. I think he ends the year averaging 23.7 rebounds, 4 assists a game. But at the same time, Barrett, while he was the guy who came into college being, you know, the number one dude in the recruiting class, expected to be the number one pick in the NBA draft, Zion was just so much better, and it was so obvious to anyone paying attention, anyone looking at the stats. I think the difference in true shooting percentage was 20 points between the two players, but Barrett still took 5 more shots per game than Zion. When Barrett's taking 18 shots, Zion's taking 13. Duke's just not divvying up the possessions the way they should. I think that blame falls on Coach K for not finding a way to put Zion in more pick and rolls as a ball handler, to play Zion at the 5 more, where his speed and quickness totally changes the game. I think that Duke was a little too conservative with how they deployed Williamson. I think that they gave Barrett a little too much leeway, and ultimately it cost him the season.
Very interesting perspective right there from SB Nation, Ricky O'Donnell joining us. Ricky, thanks so much for the time. Enjoy the Final Four. Good stuff.
Thanks, guys.
Nice having him on.